Yes, what I want to talk to you guys today about is making an impact. Making an impact. There's something in us, there's something in all of us that wants to make some sort of difference. At the beginning, it might just be a desire to get a bit of fame, get your face on TV, get your name spoken everywhere. But I think God takes that desire in us and he takes it to the next level. He wants us to make an impact on the world for the kingdom of God. And at Equippers Church, they've been doing this thing called Impact Offering. It's been going for a number of years, and it's actually happening. It's all kicking off today, but they've been building up to it. What they do with Impact Offering, besides their regular giving at church every week, Impact Offering they do once a year, and it's a chance for the church to go over and above in terms of their giving. And this is for local projects, national projects, international projects, as the need arises. And the greatest thing was, last year, across all the different Equippers locations, they raised £330,000, which is pretty incredible. And I want to encourage you guys, that's the kind of movement that we're getting on board with. So this time next year, just expect to hear incredible testimonies of how people all around the world have been touched by the generosity of people in places like this. This is what we're getting on board with, church. We're getting on board with a movement that is really making an impact. And that's the thing. We all do want to make an impact. We all do want to make a difference. Banning Liebscher, the pastor at Jesus Culture in America, he puts it like this. You know, all of us, we're called to bear fruit. But not just that, we're called to bear a lot of fruit. But not even just that, we're called to bear a lot of fruit that lasts. There's something about us that, you know, wants to make a difference, wants to make a big difference, and wants to make a lasting difference. And the good news is, with God, that is more than possible. So I want to encourage you guys, how are you making an impact in your lives? How are you making an impact for yourselves? How are you making an impact for other people? What are you doing? What are you saying in your life that is leaving a legacy almost? Because the world is waiting for us. The world's waiting for you, as in you, singular. The world is waiting for us to stand up, to rise up, and to make an impact that's going to last generations. In Romans chapter 8, verse 19, Paul says, "For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed." In other words, all of creation and everyone who lives in it, there's something about it that's just waiting eagerly for the church to rise up. God's put us here for a reason. Like I was saying a few weeks ago, the reason why we're still here is because we got a mission to do. We're here to make an impact, and all of creation is waiting desperately, desperately for us to rise up and do something. Creation waits in eager expectation for who? For the children of God to be revealed. How are you making an impact? When God reveals you to the world, when it's your time, when your destiny arrives, what's the world going to see? Because if you don't do it, unfortunately, someone else will. In Esther 4:14, we all know this famous verse where Mordecai, he's talking to Esther. And Esther has been elevated to the highest place imaginable for a Jewish girl at the time. She's become the queen to the king of Persia, the greatest empire that the world had ever seen at the time. And her people are under threat. So Mordecai says, "Well, Esther, you've got the king's ear. You could do something about this. You could save an entire nation." And Esther's not too sure. She's umming and ahhing. It's a scary place to be in. But Mordecai says this: "If you remain silent at this time, Esther, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place." God's plans are not going to be stopped, no matter what. Whatever God said, he's going to do it. So are you on board with it? God's got a mission for you. He's got a mission for me. He's got a mission for us. And how are we going to get on board with it? If you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. And who knows, but that you've come to your royal position for such a time as this. We all know that verse. But it's just as true for us today as it was for Esther back then. Mordecai's saying, Esther, it's a difficult position you're in. But you've been elevated to this place. Who knows? Your destiny could be fulfilled right now. God could be using you right now to save an entire nation. If you remain silent, God's going to do it anyway. But come on, maybe this is why you're here. I want to encourage you, church. Come on, we're planted here in New Malden, in the Lighthouse Church. Maybe this is why you're here, for such a time as this. Maybe the impact that you are going to have in this place and beyond this place. Maybe God's training you right now, just waiting for the moment to reveal you. God's going to do it. God's going to save this city. God's going to save this nation, this whole world, no matter what. Why not get on board? Why not get on board with what he's going to do anyway? Nothing can stop God. He's going to do it either way. But we get to be a part of it. How crazy is that? The God of the universe, he's got all of these plans to set the entire world free, to bring his love, his joy, his peace, his power, his justice, his mercy. And we get to be a part of it. We get to have an impact. So what impact are you having? What impact are you going to have? We get the greatest head start in this. You see so many people around the world. There's something in the heart of every human being that wants to make a difference. And so many people throughout history have made that difference. Me and Bob and a few of the others were talking earlier about the new records that have been set to run a marathon in under 2 hours. Someone's making a difference. Someone's setting a new standard. And all these people, you see like these Olympic athletes training day in, day out, making a difference. And we cheer them on. Why can't we do the same? Now, I'm never going to be an Olympic athlete, but I'm determined to make a difference somehow. And I know I can because I've got the greatest head start. I feel almost like I'm cheating sometimes because I have the King of the universe backing me up. I have the Spirit of God living inside me and he wants to use me. It's not like he's saying, oh, I better use Chris. He's just kicking about. Oh, I could use him to send a couple of nice messages to this church. No, he says, I've got my son right here, my son who I've redeemed, who I've set free. I'm going to empower him to change the world. Do you believe that for yourself? Do you believe that God can use you to have an impact? You've got the greatest head start. In Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21, Paul says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably, immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout not just one generation or two generations, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Throughout all generations, that power that's at work within you, it's a power to set you free. It's a power to heal you. It's a power to bring the breakthrough you need. But it doesn't have to stop there. How are you impacting the world around you, church? And how is the fruit that you're bearing lasting for generation after generation? Do you believe that you can have that kind of impact? It's hard to see sometimes, but do you believe that you can actually have that kind of impact? It might just seem like grassroots kind of stuff for now. But this church is on the move. We had 60 people last week. For the past 7 weeks, we've had new visitors come along time and time again. We've had salvation responses. We've got a prayer meeting coming up. Weekly, we are going to be meeting together to pray, to bring heaven to earth in our location. Do you believe that your prayers are just, you know, whispered little thoughts into the air? Or do you believe that you are bringing heaven to earth right here and right now? The pre-service prayer we have at 9 a.m. if you're here to help set up at 9 a.m. We're not just meeting together to sort of like, oh, encourage each other. Oh, I hope it will be a good service, that sort of thing. We are laying the groundwork for this Sunday service to have a lasting impact, that whoever walks through the doors is going to be changed. We're going to have our Halloween party or our Halloween alternative party for years. It's been going on for years. The kids that are going to be out trick-or-treating and celebrating some quite dark stuff in Halloween, we're going to say, no, come on in. We've got something better. We're going to celebrate God. We're going to celebrate life and light instead. This entire community knows us for this sort of thing. We're making an impact, and we're going from strength to strength, glory to glory. So what impact are you going to have? We already know we're on the move together, but what are you going to do? What impact are you going to have? Because I think the way that we make an impact is, well, we need three ingredients, I think. And when all these three ingredients come together, you just feel like you found your sweet spot. And you feel like this is how the world is going to change. In order to make an impact, you need to combine three different things. You need to find what you love. You need to find what you're good at. And you need to find what the world needs. If one of those is missing, something seems off. But your sweet spot, the impact that you're going to have that's going to affect generations, comes at the crossroads of what you love, what you're good at, and what the world needs. Let's start with what you love. I don't know how many of you enjoy the job you do. I hope all of you enjoy your jobs. I hope all of you enjoy your hobbies. I hope all of you just enjoy the life you're living. But how many of us have been in times where it's just a slog? Where day after day, it's like, I'm good at this, but I really don't like it. Yeah. We've all been there. If what you love is missing, what does that lead to? It just leads to burnout, to frustration. But how many of you know, when you find what you love, you come alive? Like I said a few weeks ago, I'm maybe not the most extroverted person. Small talk hasn't always come naturally to me. But if someone mentions, I don't know, Doctor Who, I could talk for hours on Doctor Who. There's something about what you love that makes you come alive. And if someone's, you know, if I'm just rambling on about Doctor Who, yeah, Stuart Kostick, who was here a few weeks ago, we just nerded out over Doctor Who one time for about half an hour. And I'm sure people were looking on and think, what on earth are they doing? Absolute weirdos. But it's something that we love. It makes us come alive. All of a sudden, you get a sense of energy. What you love builds a momentum before you know it. And here's the thing, like Rachel mentioned, we're building this church. We're taking it to the next level, and we have so many awesome teams here. I'm so thankful for all of the people here that make this Sunday service happen, that make the midweek stuff happen. And we want to encourage you. We'd love to have you to get on board with what this church is doing next. And here's the cool thing. Here at the Lighthouse Church, we have a try before you buy kind of culture. We're growing teams at the moment. We want to see the worship team. We want to have a full band at some point. We want to see a hosting team around who are just all smiling all the time, where people come in and they feel so welcomed. We want to have a first-class production team with so many incredible lights, all of the amazing stuff happening on the screen, worship and music that sounds so incredible. And how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to do it by people coming along and saying, I want to have a go at this. We have a try before you buy kind of culture at the Lighthouse. We want to encourage you, get on board, join a team, find what you enjoy. Commit to a month maybe, and then let's talk. If it's not for you, it's not for you. If you try out singing on stage and you're absolutely terrible, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. But give it a go is what I want to say. Give it a go. You might be surprised. Let's talk. Let's keep an open conversation. And I want to say, you know, if where you're at, if it's just pulling teeth all the time, why are you still there? Find what you love It's incredible to see the passion that comes out of the worship team at the front. I get inspired by these ladies at the front who are just leading us in worship so well. Because it's what they love. It's what they love. And here's the great thing. If you love something and you are just pouring your heart out with it, other people catch that as well. I feel like I feel that same kind of energy where it's like I couldn't stand here at the front and sing to you. But what I can do is get behind these ladies and be like, I feel that love. I feel that passion. I feel that energy. Come on, what do you love? What can you get on board with? That sort of thing. Now, we know we can't always do what we love. Sometimes there are things that just need to be done. And you just have to do things that you don't want to do. That's part of maturity. It's part of being an adult. I get that. But what is the overall sound coming from your life? Those days when you have to put pedal to the metal, we have to go all out and just do the things you don't want to do because they need to be done. Fine. But is there still that passion within you that looks forward to the next moment when you can watch the next episode of Doctor Who? Yeah. Is there that passion within you overall that says, I'm doing what I love? God's brought me into a place where I actually enjoy my job. I actually enjoy my serving. I actually enjoy my hobbies. Now, it's interesting being around Equippers Church for quite a few years in the past. I've served in all different kinds of areas. But the two that spring to mind, first of all, is serving in kids' church. Now, like I say, I'm not the most extroverted person. So when I got first asked to join in with a kids' camp and be on stage playing guitar and dancing around with all the kids and leading these games, it was, oh, it just felt so painful. But God used that time to really grow me. And a few months in, I found, actually, these kids are all right. They're a laugh. They're good fun. And I actually started to enjoy it. Now, it wasn't always easy. It wasn't always my natural fit. But I found something that was like, yeah, I love this place. I love these kids. I love doing this sort of thing. And there's that passion that awoke something within me. On the other hand, when I'm at work last year, when I was teaching, I was asked to lead the science club after school. And I thought, oh, brilliant. This will be a great time to just blow some stuff up, do some really cool experiments, that sort of thing. And I just found, oh, gosh, this is not what I thought it was. I thought I was going to pour all my scientific passion, we'd have all the Bunsen burners going, we'd have all kinds of incredible chemicals. But it wasn't like that, unfortunately. And it just became a slog, week in, week out. Oh, here we go again. Even the kids just weren't enjoying it. Why? Because it wasn't something that made the passion come alive in me. So where you're at right now, are you doing what you love? Are you doing what you enjoy? And here's how to find it. What gives you energy? What wakes you up in the morning? What do you go to bed dreaming about at night? What gives you energy? What makes you come alive? Where do your idle thoughts go when you're bored, when you're tired? I want to encourage you. Maybe that's Holy Spirit sort of nudging you, saying, hey, go do what you love. Go do what you enjoy. So there's what you love, but then there's also what you're good at as well. I have a mixed skill set when it comes to cooking, shall we say. Because I'm a science teacher, I studied chemistry and that sort of thing. I'm really good at baking, shall we say. I like all the measurements being all precise. I feel like a scientist in the kitchen. And I've also become really, really good at cooking steak. I love a good steak. Yeah. Exactly. But I've found there are certain things I'm good at in terms of cooking and other things I'm not too good at. I'm sure Rachel can tell you at the end the time in university where I cooked, what was it, sea bass and pasta and overcooked sea bass and dry pasta and peas. Yeah. No. I'm good at certain things. I'm not good at other things. What's missing if you're going through life and you're not doing what you're good at? There's a sense of uncertainty. There's a sense of doubt. There's a sense that I could trip up at every moment. You almost feel like you're an imposter in your own job, in your own vocation. Now, when I used to be a youth leader at my church back home where I was growing up, again, I did all kinds of different things. There was one time I was asked to play a guitar in one of the youth bands, and all I know is a few chords. So they very kindly turned the volume up on the track so they didn't hear me. But it wasn't something that I was good at. It wasn't something that I could just put my all into. On the other hand, the next week, I got asked to take a few of the youth group out for lunch and just have a mentoring session where I could open up the Bible with them. And again, I felt that passion. I felt that energy. Why? Because I was good at it. It was something that I'd practiced. And I want to encourage you, hone your craft, whatever it might be. Whatever it is you're good at, do it with all your might. Like I always say, week in, week out, these musicians here and these singers, they don't just turn up and hope it'll be okay. They're there every Wednesday at Seaforth Avenue practicing, honing their craft. Why? Because they love it, but also they want to be the best they can be. They want to serve with excellence. What are you good at? And how are you improving it? And then finally, there's what the world needs. So what you love, what you're good at, and what the world needs. If you do a job that you love, and you do a job that you're really, really good at, maybe that will keep you going for a while, but then you sort of think, how am I leaving an impact? How am I leaving a legacy? If you're doing something that the world doesn't need, the impact that you have, it stops with you. But what's Paul saying? He wants to leave an impact that goes for generation after generation, forever and ever. If you're doing what you love, fantastic. If you're doing what you're good at, even better. But does the impact stop with you? Whose life is going to be better this week? Not including your family or friends. Whose life is going to be better this week because of you? That's what I want to challenge you this morning at church. It's easier to find what we're good at, and it's easy to find what we love. It's not so easy sometimes to find what the world needs. But like I say, with Impact Offering, we're joining a movement, an international movement that is having real, tangible, lasting impact. Let's get on board, church. I said a couple of weeks ago, this lovely Greek proverb I found, it said, a society grows great when old men plant trees whose shade they know they will never sit in. What impact are you leaving? What does the world need, and how can you meet that need? In 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, Paul says, the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Now, you might just read that in the Bible and gloss over it. And Paul saying, oh, Timothy, make sure, you know, you do this. It's just a little bit of housekeeping and admin in his church leadership. But hang on. The things you've heard from me, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. That's four generations in that single verse. Paul's making sure the impact doesn't stop with him. It's crazy to think, but it's true that Jesus and the 12 disciples couldn't reach the whole world. What did they have to do? They had to train others. They had to think, I've got to leave an impact. I've got to meet other people. We've got to help the poor. We've got to train others. We're here today because Peter and James and John and Andrew and all of their mates thought, this doesn't stop with us. We're training others. We're keeping the momentum going. We're meeting what the world needs, and we are leaving an impact. The things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will be qualified to teach others. So you had Jesus, the 12 disciples, Paul, Timothy, entrust to other people who will then be able to teach others. Does the impact you have stop with you? Or is it going to last generations? That's the challenge I want to leave you with this morning, church. I encourage you, stand at the crossroads of your affections, your successes, and your passions. What do you love? What are you good at? And what does the world need? Find your uniqueness. The world needs so many things, and you can't meet them all, but what can you meet? At the end of the day, God's not going to ask me why I wasn't Bob, or why I wasn't Kareem, or why I wasn't Christine. But I don't want him to ask me, why weren't you Chris Huckle? Why weren't you yourself? Your sweet spot at the crossroads of what you love, what you're good at, and what the world needs answers your deep gladness, that desire in your heart to make a difference. It meets your deep gladness with the world's deep need. God wants to redeem your desires. He doesn't want to remove them. I'm not exactly sure yet how my love for Doctor Who is going to change the world, but I know that God is using my passions and my abilities to change the world. What are you good at? What do you love? How can you use it to change the world? You know, Jesus did these things. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Jesus, he did what he loved because he loved us. He came to this earth because he loved us. Jesus did what he was good at. The reason why he went round healing people, setting people free, is because he had such a close relationship with the Father and with the Spirit. But he also honed his craft. I keep saying this. He memorized Deuteronomy. I just can't even begin to imagine how that's possible. But he memorized Deuteronomy. Why? He needed to know the scriptures inside and out. The Pharisees kept trying to trip him up. But what did he do? He spent time. He honed his craft. He was good at it, and he made sure he was better. Even before he got to the age of 30, do you really think Jesus, as a carpenter, ever made a shoddy table or a rickety chair? What are you good at? How are you honing your craft? How are you serving with excellence? And Jesus met what the world needed. He said, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only do what I've been called to do. So I want to leave you with some questions of how you can find your sweet spot, and out of the overflow of that, how you can make an impact that lasts generations, that doesn't stop with you. First question is, what am I focusing on? What am I focusing on? You need to focus in this life. Obviously, we need to get rid of the bad things, but who's ready to embrace the challenge of letting go of the good things that are just distractions? Letting go of the things that don't serve you and serve God and don't serve others. Are we willing to go to that next step of, yes, leaving the old things behind, the bad and the good, to focus on the best? What are you focusing on? In 2 Timothy 2:4, Paul says, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. That's the kind of language that Paul's using to Timothy. We're soldiers. We've got a fight to win. And any soldier, he doesn't get caught up with what's going on in civilian matters. He's single-minded, focused on his commanding officer's orders. So, if you've got a focus, I've got some bad news and some good news. We've got the infinite power of God living within us and putting our weight behind us, but we can't do everything. That's the bad news. We can't do everything. You can't do everything. But you can do anything. You can't do everything, but you can do anything. What's your focus going to be? How are you going to hone that laser-sharp focus to meet what the world needs? In Nehemiah, they had to rebuild the walls after they returned from exile. And they're standing outside the ruins of Jerusalem, the ruins of their city. And it could have taken ages and ages to just cobble together enough resources, enough people to fix everything, to rebuild everything. But what does Nehemiah, he says to everyone, build the wall that's in front of you. The whole population of the city, just do your bit. Focus on what's in front of you. And it was fixed in no time. What's God calling you to? What's God put right in front of you? Doesn't have to be big, doesn't have to be small, but who and what has God put in front of you? Is it a neighbor that God wants you to meet up with? Is it a local thing in the community that God wants you to help out with? Is it people you can witness to in your job? Is it family members that you can pray for? Is it the Halloween party that you can volunteer at? What has God put right in front of you? There's this lovely story I've heard of a man who was walking down the beach one time, and as he turns a corner, he notices this beach like stretching out for miles ahead of him, and the whole sand is just covered in starfish. The tide's gone out, and all of these starfish have just washed up on shore, and they're not going to survive if they can't get back in the water. So he thinks, oh, this is a bit sad, but there's nothing I can do. So he walks along, and he sees this little girl just picking up starfish and throwing them back into the sea. And he's like, what are you doing? And she says, well, look at all these starfish. I've got to help them out. And the man says, well, you can't save all of them. You can't make any real difference. So the girl looks at him, picks up a starfish, throws it back in the sea and said, I made a difference for that one. You can't do everything, but you can do anything. You can't do everything, but what, and more importantly, who has God put right in front of you to make a difference, to make an impact? Rachel's got stories of all these girls she met up with at university, just the one person sometimes, just that one coffee meetup, who is now one of the girls she met up with just for coffee once a week, every now and then, brought her along to church, who is now discipling young people, who is now reaching a whole nother generation because Rachel saw the one that God put in front of her. And now the impact that she's had is reaching a whole nother generation. Those young people getting discipled, they're going to get plugged in. They're going to disciple the next generation and on and on. Who has God put in front of you? You can't reach everyone, but you can reach the one in front of you. Here's another question. Am I excited about my work and my calling? It's a tough question sometimes. But am I taking opportunities to advance? And am I preparing for them? Like I say, if where you're at, if where you're working, if where you're serving, if it's just pulling teeth, why are you still there? Your sweet spot involves, you know, what the world needs and what you're good at. But it's also got to be what you love. Talent can only sustain you so far. You've got to have a passion from God. And you won't always get it right. But ask yourself, finally, am I thinking more about what could go wrong or what could go right? The first time I ever got up to preach in a church, my mind was full of what could go wrong. They might not like me. I might stumble over the words. I might miss a point. The mic could cut out. They might throw stuff at me and heckle me to get me off the stage. But then I thought, no, what could go right? I know God had given me a message. What could have gone right? And I think it was a good message. You won't always get it right. But we want to build a culture where we're unafraid of failure, where we use each other's strengths and we cover each other's weaknesses. And we have a culture where we say, it's okay. You can try. You can get it wrong, and we'll fix it together. Find what you love, find what you're good at, and find what the world needs. Theodore Roosevelt, he talked about this person called the man in the arena. He had this idea of wanting to leave an impact and encouraging others to do the same, and he was talking about how it's not the person on the sidelines who's got their comfortable life, who's doing what they're good at, who's doing what they love, but the impact stops with them that makes a difference. It's the person who's willing to get their hands dirty, get into the arena, and make a difference. He said, it's not the critic who counts. Not the person who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the person who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who gets it wrong, who comes short again and again, because there's no effort without error and shortcoming. but who actually does strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends themselves in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if they fail, at least they fail while daring greatly. Their place will never be with the cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. Don't let the impact stop with you. If you're doing what you're good at, fantastic. Keep practicing. Keep doing it. Be better and better and better. If you're doing what you love, amazing. I'm so happy for you. I'm so glad you found that joy. But don't let the impact stop with you. Make a difference. What is God saying? Who and what has he put right in front of you? If you don't know, here's another question for you. When was the last time I seriously and authentically sought the presence of God without a timer for an undefined period of time with an open heart and an undistracted mind? When was the last time you just sat down, spent time with God, just hung out with him, with the phone switched off, the TV switched off, the book away, and thought, God, what are you saying? Who and what have you put right in front of me? What do you want me to do? What vision is he going to give you? Because God's got an incredible destiny and vision and mission for each and every one of you. I wrote this down a few years back. It's changed a little while. It's changed a little bit over the years. And it'll probably continue to change as God reveals more and more. But here's what I wrote down about 3 or 4 years ago. My vision that God gave me. I wrote, with God, I will permanently change the world. I want to teach, train, empower, heal, and send out leaders from and to all the nations. I want to mentor and counsel people. I want to see and work multiple miracles on a daily basis. How cool would that be? I want to prophesy with high clarity, impact, and accuracy. I want to travel and enjoy life. I want to develop my character and skills. I want to be a good son, husband, friend, and brother. I want to see and help bring countless people to Christ. I want to live wisely and joyfully with a clear conscience and no regrets. And one day, I want to receive the crown of life from Jesus and hear well done when I meet him face to face. What vision has God given you? I've written there, you know, I want to teach, train, empower, heal, and send out leaders. That's where I believe God has called me. Eventually, just down the line, raising up new leaders in all kinds of arenas, training them, empowering them, mentoring them. What's your vision going to be? If you're good musically, could you have a big enough vision? Could you dare enough to think, God's going to use me to release music to the world? Entire albums that's going to change people's hearts. What's your vision? You know, think like Caleb. He's in his 80s at least. And he says, God's given me a promise and I haven't seen it yet. So I'm still going for it. God promised me that mountain. So come on, we're here now. Give me that mountain. I'm not settling for anything less. Give me that mountain. What's your mountain? What has God called you to? Who and what has God put right in front of you? If it's in the world of education as a teacher, come on. Say to that mountain, you're mine. I'm going to be the best teacher that I can be. I'm going to train and empower and rise up a whole new generation of students who are going to change the world. Come on, if your mountain is business, think, come on, mountain of business, give me that mountain. I'm going to raise up finances and mentor businessmen and women who are going to remove corruption at the highest level, who are going to change the world, who are going to provide money and resources to the places where the world needs it the most. Come on, if your mountain is family, think, I'm going to raise up, maybe physically with your own children, but also spiritually, I'm going to train and empower mums and dads, aunts and uncles, grandparents, to raise up a new generation of children who love God and love others. Is it going to be science? Come on, give me that mountain. I'm going to find the cure for cancer. I'm going to find the cure for this disease. I'm going to make people's lives healthier and better. Come on, is it the arts? I'm going to bring heavenly creativity to my paintings and drawings, to my animations, to the media I produce. Give me that mountain. Have a Caleb spirit and think, I'm going to do what I'm good at. I'm going to do what I love. And I'm going to do it to change the world. We're putting our weight behind you when you do that. Tell us what your vision is. Tell us what mountain you're called to. Tell us what you're good at and what you love. What makes you come alive? And we're like, come on, we can put our weight behind you. Come on, Lighthouse Church. When people share their deepest desires, the vision that God has given them, can we be bold enough to say, we're putting our weight behind you. We're cheering you on. Whatever it is you're good at, church, step forward. Let us know. And know that you've got a family behind you who's putting their weight behind you. We want to champion you. We want to equip you to find your sweet spot and then go at it to change the world and make an impact. How are you going to make an impact? What do you love? What are you good at? And what does the world need? I promise you, if you spend time with God, if you ask him, if you look at what he's put right in front of you, you find your sweet spot. Not only are you going to have an awesome life doing what you love and doing what you're good at, but it's going to be infectious. Everyone else is going to see it and think, I want what they've got. And you are going to change the world, I promise you. Have a good Sunday. Come and talk to us. Let us know what you're good at, what you love, and how you want to make a difference. And we'll put our weight behind you. Sound good?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I can do anything. I can do all things, 'cause it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible. Impossible.